good evening, everyone. A warm word of welcome, once again, as always, to our weekly Bible study and prayer meeting. It is good to see each and every one that is here this evening. And as always, it is our prayer that God will be in the midst of us. Those that are tuning in online as well, a warm welcome to you wherever you are. May the Lord's blessing be with you. Our opening hymn this evening is going to be the hymn 312, My Faith Has Found a Resting Place. Let's stand once again for prayer, please, at this stage. Let's unite our hearts together. Eternal God and Father in heaven, we come to thee this night in and through that worthy and that precious name of thine only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O God, this night afresh, even as we've been reminded in the hymn that we've just listened to. O God, in the salvation, that perfect salvation, which was purchased at the very highest cost for us. Lord, we thank thee for the salvation which Jesus Christ freely offers. We thank thee that it's through the precious shed blood that we have remission of sins. We thank thee, O God, this night that we stand before thee, clothed in not our own clothes, but clothed in the righteousness of Christ. We thank thee this night for our union with thee. We thank thee, O God, for the opportunity to have communion with thee. Lord, that we come to thee in peaceable terms. We come as friend unto friend. And Lord, we do rejoice in this. We rejoice in the access which we have into the very throne room of heaven itself. And O God in heaven, we come to thee and we do want to thank Thee and praise Thee for ever setting Thy love upon us, for ever plucking us up out of that miry clay, for ever setting our feet upon the rock Christ Jesus, for ever establishing our goings, for ever putting that new song in our mouths, even praise unto the Lord. And O Father, wherever we go and whoever we come into contact with, may they see and may they take note that we have been with Jesus. O God, what a testimony that was of the apostles, that it was noted that they had been with Christ. Oh, what a testimony in this fallen world. And O God, may that be the testimony that we bear, that we are one of Christ's children, that we are one of the redeemed, that we have Christ within us. We have Christ with us. We have Christ before us and Christ behind us. O God, may we go forth each and every day with that confidence, with that assurance, that we have nothing to fear in this life, for we have a Savior who is in control of all things. We rejoice this night in the sovereignty of God. We rejoice that He is upon the throne and He is in control of all things. We rejoice this night in the providence of God, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And Father, we do pray that Thou wilt bless our time in this house. We do pray as we come around Thy word now and then as we have the time and the season of prayer later on. Once again, O God, we ask Thee for Thy blessing. We ask Thee for Thy help. Lord, vain is the help of man in every aspect of life, and even in this meeting as well. Lord, we do not need the help of man. We need the help of God. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh upon us. And empty us of self and of sin, and fill us with Thy Spirit. Bless each one that is here. We thank Thee, O God, for bringing us. We thank Thee for that desire in the heart to be found in Thy house. Lord, bless this time. May it be a special time. May it be a time whenever we are refreshed in the Word of God, when we are refreshed even around the throne of grace. And Lord, may we leave here rejoicing that God has been with us. And Lord, bless each one that is listening online. Lord, wherever they be as they listen in, may that word in season be there for their hearts. That word of encouragement, that word of challenge. O God, speak on, we pray Thee, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're turning tonight to Philippians and the chapter 4, please. The book of Philippians and the chapter 4. Just going to read the opening 7 verses of the chapter together. Philippians chapter 4 and the verse number 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also and with other my fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. It is those final two verses I want to draw your attention to this evening under the heading, The Fearless Christian. The Fearless Christian. One night there was a man standing at the edge of a frozen river, and he had a great need to cross that river to continue with his journey.
And he had sought the advice of the local people as to whether or not it was safe to cross. And all of the locals that he had spoken to with any knowledge of that area and of that river, they were all very confident that even in the midst of the winter time, it was safe to cross. It was safe to pass over. Each of them had given their word to him. Yes, go ahead. You'll be 100% safe. There won't be any issue at all. You know, as he stood at that side of the river, the man was filled with fear. He couldn't move. And eventually he started to venture forward, not on his feet, but rather on his knees, gingerly crawling across the river. And when he got to the halfway point, still on his hands and knees, there was a great noise that arose. And he looked up, and at the other side of the river, he saw a team of horses being raced down onto the river top, onto the top of the ice, pulling a wagon full of steel. How foolish he felt. How strange he felt even as he was there upon that river, upon his hands and his knees. You know, he had ignored all of the words of the assurance of the people. He had ignored all of their encouragement just to make your journey. Don't be stopping, don't be hesitating, but rather just to carry on and do not fear the ice in any way. You know, sadly too often, the Christian ignores the Word of God. The Christian ignores the promises of God that are found therein. Instead of being fearless, they in turn are fearful. You know, too often we get caught up with the affairs and the happenings in this world, and we forget about the Word of God, and we forget about the encouragement that is available. We can look here, we can look there, we can look everywhere. We end up being discouraged, and we end up becoming very fearful indeed. Too often we can be like Peter in the sea. We can be walking upon the water fearless. And then as you look around the storms of life, as you look from the side to the side, and all of those waves and all of the billows that come, and we begin to sink. We're overcome with fear. We have to cry out, Lord, save me. And yet as verse 5 reminds us at the end of it, the Lord is at hand. And therefore, be careful for nothing. Now, of course, that sentence, it doesn't mean that we live a reckless life or we treat everything as if we don't care and we just plow on. We are to watch and to guard our souls, to guard our bodies, to guard our testimonies. We are to be careful with how we walk and how we talk. We're to be careful with how we worship our God in heaven. We are to be careful in our remembrance of Jesus Christ until He comes. But the material things of this world, of course, are not to be our priority and are not to fill our thoughts. We are to be fearless. So what are the characteristics of a fearless Christian? There are three things I want to leave with you this evening. I want you to see, firstly, the verse 6. A fearless Christian will be a praying Christian. The verse 6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The first mark of a fearless Christian is one who prays. Not one who just prays in an emergency, not one who just prays in the times of need, like whenever we're sinking through the waves, but rather one who prays day and daily, crying unto the Lord. Whether it be for a temporal need that arises, whether it be for a spiritual need, whether it be for a need of the body or for the soul, whether it be for ourselves or whether it be for someone else. All of it must be brought to the Lord in prayer. Doesn't matter the size of the issue. Doesn't matter if it's just a small thing that only affects us and no one else. It too must be brought to the Lord in prayer. D.L. Moody, he said, our great matters are little to His power. Our little matters are great to His love. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful for everything. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 11, it says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Romans 12, verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And you think of the children of God, even throughout the scriptures, and how those men and those women of God, they gave themselves to prayer. They didn't have anything to fear. Whether it be Peter asleep in the prison cell in Acts 12, whether it be Daniel asleep, even there in the lion's den. And even the fact that even before that, that decree had come out, the king's decree, no praying to anyone. And yet, regardless of that king's decree, he still went home. He opened up the windows, he got down on his knees and he prayed. You see, in everything they did by prayer and by supplication. Audible and inaudible, public and private, ordinary and extraordinary. They prayed, and thus led to fearlessness. Why does prayer make us fearless? Very simply, because of who we pray to. You see, the more time that is spent in prayer and in the presence of God, the more that we will know and the more that we will understand who God is. The more time that you spend alone with God, the more that you will see Him. The more that you will know Him. The more that you will trust Him. The more that you will understand of His power, of His control, of His love, of His care. The more that we will be able to cry out with those words that are found in Jeremiah and the chapter 32 in the verses 17 to 19. The wonderful words, Jeremiah chapter 32, in the verse 17. It says over there in that passage, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power. Thy stretched out arm, there is nothing too hard for thee. Thou showest loving kindness unto thousands. Recompensest the iniquity of the fathers into the bosom of their children after them. The great, the mighty God, the Lord of hosts is his name. Great in counsel, mighty in work. For thine eyes are open unto all the ways of the sons of men, to give every one according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." Even there, Jeremiah, he's able to understand, he's able even to rejoice in who the God of heaven is. Child of God, you want your fears to be allayed. You want them to be taken away whenever the heart starts to race, when the panic starts to set in, the worry fills our mind. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Even tonight, as we're found here in this house, and we're going to be coming to the place of prayer in a little while. Maybe it's things that no one else knows about. Maybe it's something that's upon your heart, and even your husband, your wife, it doesn't know about. Yet that can be taken to the Lord in prayer. Yet that ought to be taken to the Lord in prayer, that even those greatest anguishes within your heart. Just like Hannah, whenever she went into the temple, she didn't go with Elkanah. She wasn't praying with Elkanah that stage. She was in the temple on her own. She couldn't even lift her voice audibly. It was simply below her breath. Her lips moved, but there was no sound. You see, whenever our fears arise, we are to be still. We are to know that He alone is God. My, what a blessing it is to have prayer. What a blessing it is to know that we can pray at any time. Even if we're lying upon the bed at night, we're tossing, we're turning, we're unable to get any shut eye, we're unable to get any rest at all. Our minds are racing, our hearts are racing. Yet even in the twilight hours, even in the early hours of the morning, we have a God who's ready and willing to hear. Ready and willing indeed to listen. A praying Christian is a fearless Christian. And then secondly, of course, in verse 6 as well, it tells us that a fearless Christian is also a praising Christian. Because the second half of that verse, it says, prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. You see, praise is something which should fill our minds, our hearts and our lips continually. You think of the words that are found in Psalm 34. Those opening three verses are very well known. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Praise is something that ought to be always upon our lips. Even as we're going about, and it doesn't have to be sung, but even as we're going about, there's no harm in singing. Whether it be whenever you're getting dressed in the morning, whether it be whenever you're going from room to room, or whether it be even as you're driving in the car, why is praise not on our lips? Whether it be in song or even just praising the Lord as we're talking to Him. And yet so often we're silent. Too often our hearts can be cold, our complexions can be sad. We read that verse in the verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. That was something that Paul was encouraging the Philippians to do. It's something as well that as you go through the Old Testament, time and again the children of God are praising Him. Whether it be Moses and Miriam and the ladies after crossing the Red Sea, they go out and they sing and they praise God. Whether it be the songs of Deborah after that judge along with Barak had overthrown the enemy. Whether it be David even as he faced Goliath. He went down into that valley of Elah, tells us 1 Samuel 17. And he's praising God even before his enemy. You'll find it especially in verses 45 and 46. He's standing there and Goliath is taunting him, he's mocking him. And yet every word that David says there is praise. Because he is acknowledging who his God is. You think as well of Paul and Silas. They're beaten, they're bloodied, and yet they're praising the Lord in Acts 16. There's no fear of where they are. There's no fear or consideration for themselves in terms of the situation, the condition that their bodies are in. You think as well of the apostles, Acts 5. In the verse 41, they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing. Even though they had been verbally abused, even though they had been held overnight, even though they were now on the watch list, as it were, yet they're rejoicing. You see, child of God, we're to praise Him at all times. The praise is continually to be in our mouths and upon our hearts. That means we're to praise Him in the good times, we're to praise Him in the bad times. You see, the more that we praise Him and adore Him, the more our love for Him will grow. The more that we will spend our time considering our God in heaven. We're to praise Him in song. We're to praise Him in prayer. We're to praise Him in conversation. We're to praise Him in thought. We're to praise Him in this house, our own houses. We're to praise Him in our cars. We're to praise Him in the street. We're to praise Him in the day. And yes, we're to praise Him at night. But too often we're like the 9 lepers. We take the good that the Lord gives to us. We'll receive all of the kindness, all of the benefits that the Lord daily loads upon us. But then, like the 9 lepers, we don't come back and thank and praise Him. Yes, we must praise God. For He is God. But have you ever considered the mercy of God whenever we do praise Him? You see, the more that we praise Him, the more that we thank Him, the more that we will think upon Him. And the more our faith will increase and our fear will decrease. Ephesians 5, the verse 20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Underline those words, always and all things. That means even the bad situations, even the dark providences that come our way, we are still to praise Him for those. We're still to thank Him for those. And that, of course, is so hard a thing to do as we're going through a dark providence. And maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's a sickness or the loss of our own health. The last thing we think to do is to say, thank you, Lord, for it. And yet we are to praise Him. You think as well over in Colossians. The chapter 3 and the verses 15 to 17, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Now remember last week we were looking at the children of Israel. We highlighted last week of how that generation, they missed out in God's best. Because when the 10 spies came back with their bad report, they were filled with fear, and that fear then was passed on. It was contagious to the rest of the Israelites, and it was passed on. And even though Moses and Aaron and Caleb and Joshua that were there, those four men, they tried to remind them, they brought forth those memories of how God had brought them across the Red Sea, how God had brought them out of Egypt, how God had preserved them with the Amalekites, how God had brought them to this very point. And Caleb had no fear. We highlighted that last week. There were giants, yes, but Caleb had no fear. Moses had no fear. Why? Because their praise and their thoughts, their hearts were upon the Lord. We ought to be praising God at every moment. We ought to have our minds stayed upon Jehovah. That every day, every situation that may arise, so many of them unexpected, and yet we can just praise the Lord. Lord, you're still in control. You've never failed me up until this point. You've never let me down. Lord, I can testify last week. I can testify last month. I can testify last year. Lord, those situations, those hardships that I endured, Lord, you were with me. You brought me through them. Therefore, Lord, this one again, I can look to you. I can trust in you. Now, there is the praying Christian. There is the praising Christian. But verse 7, wonderful words. It is the protected Christian. Verse 7, it says, the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. See, the child of God is never cast off. Child of God is never abandoned. We are kept. It's a wonderful word. We're going to go into it in a minute. But you just think of that. We are kept. We're kept with such security. We're protected better than anyone has ever been protected in all of their lives. We're protected greater than any government can ever protect you. Now, whenever I was thinking about this, I was thinking of even the last 100 years, and I was thinking of the great nations that have risen and fallen right across the world in the last 100 years. I can think of places and nations that boasted of their strength and boasted of their power, and yet they couldn't protect their people. I think of the great nation of France, that great ally that was to Britain, and yet in the space of 6 weeks, Germany had defeated it. Completely overran it. From top to bottom, from left to right, completely gone. I think of the great empire of Russia. That great nation that it was, and yet there during the Second World War again, Germany took 300 miles of that nation in a matter of days. And of course, you can think of Germany. The Third Reich. They claimed that it would be a 1,000-year reign. We are so great. We've taken over so much of Europe. We've went to the north. We're now going into the east. We've went to the west. We're going down into the south of Africa. We're taking over nation after nation. We are going to be a 1,000-year Reich. They were gone in 6 years. You see, the child of God, we're not kept by a nation. or a government. We're kept by the peace of God. And that peace, which was purchased at the highest and the greatest price, God provides it because Christ paid for it. His peace is precious, and therefore we are precious to Him. You know, that word for keep is the Greek word phrureo. It means to be a watcher or a guard. Like a sentinel that just guards and protects. Offers as much protection, the Greek word would lead you to understand, as a whole garrison. And I think of that sentinel, I think of that guard, and that guard is protecting you, that guard is protecting me. I can't help but think of that flaming sword in Genesis 3 and 24. That flaming sword which was placed there, which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. And so Adam and Eve, they've been cast out of the garden for eating the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so that they would never get near the tree of life, there was a flaming sword placed, and it's turning every way, and there was not a hope, there was not a possibility of anyone ever getting near the tree of life. It's like an impregnable fortress. See, that's the protection that's found in the peace of God. Just as the little chicks are under the wing, so too are we protected by our Savior. He is the peace of God. He is the Prince of Peace. He passeth all understanding. It's interesting that that's how it's described, the peace of God. That's Christ, which passeth all understanding. You add that then to great is the mystery of godliness. God manifest in the flesh. There's the peace that passeth all understanding, because we can't comprehend God. And we can't comprehend Christ being manifest in the flesh. But that's the peace that protects you. And that's the peace that protects me. He keeps us. Better than any castle. Or any high tower. Better even than the walls of Jerusalem. How great they were. You know, in 70 AD, whenever Jerusalem eventually fell to the Romans, at that time, the Roman commander, he had to testify that he had never seen walls as strong as the walls of Jerusalem. Never seen walls as well built or as fortified. And yet the protection of Christ is even greater than any wall that's ever been built. Better than any armor. Better than any war machine. Our Savior never weakens. Never decays. Never needs an upgrade, the protection we have in Christ. Never needs a calibration. It's perfect. See, the Lord is my light. And my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? See, child of God, we have nothing to fear in this life. Yes, they may spin, they may hype, they may try and push as if the great agendas are there and they're so strong that we have no hope. Our hope is in Christ. As if we cannot but just accept what is coming. No, our hope is in Christ. As if we're just going to have to get caught up with the tide and just go with it. No, our hope is in Christ. He is our peace. He is our peace that passeth all understanding. And He is the one who keeps us. So I encourage us even this evening. Pray to Him. Don't just sit in silence without praying. Yes, pray to him audibly how much we'd love to hear, as we say every week, just everyone going around the room, one after another, would love to hear every voice being lifted. But whether audible or inaudible, pray to him. And praise him. Praise him tonight. Praise him tomorrow. Praise him every day. And just enjoy and trust that protection that he gives to you. You're kept. I'm kept. It's not the church that keeps us. It's not ourselves that keep us. Christ keeps us. And he keeps us to the very end. What have we to fear from this world? Nothing. As I said last week, we get filled with fear. You miss out with God. You pray and you seek and you look for the Lord to increase your faith. And the fear, the doubts removed. Because you have Christ. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this evening. Amen.